We cannot keep anything secret from God. This statement may seem as indisputably clear as lightning in a night sky, but as many of us have learned the hard way, it is anything but obvious in daily practice. With the exception of Jesus himself, many heroes of the faith, both biblical and modern day ones, have succumbed to the lie that no one will find out, care, or be hurt by our secret thoughts and deeds. So I'm not sure why the rest of us would ever think that we could keep secrets contained within some boundary of mere human design. For many people, the idea of keeping secrets from God does sound ludicrous until they end up getting caught by the one they didn't even know they were keeping. Problems can hibernate under the surface of our lives when we erroneously believe that we are immune to certain temptations because of our maturity or our previous track record of success. In other cases, the secret issue may have started out as a completely benign habit, or an indulgence, or a conversation, but slowly creeped into sinful territory over weeks, months, or years. Furthermore, a secret doesn't have to be classified as big to create significant havoc when it is finally revealed. All too often, it's the little things that slowly snowball over time, fed by the darkness we keep them in, that end up causing us the most trouble. Regardless of where they come from or why, no one at any level of maturity or belief is immune from harboring secrets in the heart. One thing all believers can count on is that somehow, some way, and at some point, God will always unearth secrets from the hearts of the ones he loves. He paid too high of a price for us, has plans too great to fail, and loves us too much to let our secrets burrow down, deepen the roots of sin, and grow tentacles of destruction in our lives, either now or in the distant future. Whether it's the large-scale public exposure of a megachurch pastor involved in an affair, or the seemingly small revelation that a boss has been taking all the credit for her staff's hard work, God is not only aware of every little detail in our lives, according to Psalms 139, 1 through 4, he promises, without exception, that he will work things out for our good and his glory, Romans 8, 28. That means the truth will always come out, one way or another. In my own life, I have always been amazed to discover how widespread or deeply connected the impact of harboring a secret can be. Earlier this year, my pride lured me into keeping what most people would consider to be a relatively minor secret from my husband, but the Holy Spirit used the incident to teach me how important it is for nothing to come between me and my spouse. When God calls people to serve him, he takes into account far more than the individual, especially if he or she is married. God's plan for oneness in marriage means that when he gives direction to one spouse, he intends for the other to have a powerful role as well, even if it's in the form of prayer support only. Because it's not only illustrative of my point, but also because it's embarrassingly funny, I'll tell you about the secret I attempted to keep. It all started with a knot in my shoulder while my husband was away traveling on business. Since he wasn't around to work out the kinks in my muscles, I attempted to knead the knot myself with a massage ball on the wall. By the time I was finished, the knot was better. The wall was not. I didn't see the damage to the drywall at first, but later in the shadows of evening light, the divots became startlingly visible. As I stared at them in disbelief, I decided right then and there that I needed to fix them myself. I reasoned out that if my husband had done something to damage one of our walls, he wouldn't have asked me what to do about it first. He would simply repair it. Therefore, I decided that I wouldn't say anything when he got home, and if he didn't notice it, then I would take care of the work myself the next time he was away. Key to this prideful decision on my part was that he had warned me before that it was better to use the massage ball on the floor and not on the wall. My pride flared again. When my husband arrived home that week, he did not notice the wall damage, and I smiled secretly to myself as I imagined being the self-reliant homeowner with mad drywall and paint skills. Determined to take care of my own messes, I began the project as soon as he took another trip. Going to the paint store, I had them mix the exact same color shown on my receipt from our last purchase. This was going to be a breeze, I thought. Oh, how wrong I was. After two rounds of divot repair and sanding, I finally began to paint. It was close, super close, but not a perfect match. And again, the evening light revealed more than daylight, picking up on the slightly different textures of the patch job just below the fresh coat of paint. I went to bed panicked as the flaws in my logic slowly surfaced in the closing darkness. If I couldn't make it better, I'd not only have to reveal my mistake, but also acknowledge that my repair skills are woefully lacking. Pride whispered to me again and kept me awake for hours. The next day, I researched paint feathering and blending. I diluted and tested again. Before long, my advanced feathering technique had left me with a repair zone more than three times the size of the original set of divots. It was better, but it wasn't perfect. And I went to bed again with my pride singing a cold lullaby. When he came home again, I held my breath. And once again, he didn't notice. So I convinced myself that I'd done a great job, even if I could still see the evidence of my secret every evening as I settled into bed. My pride was telling me to forget about it and just move on. But now the Holy Spirit was the one keeping me awake. Over the next several weeks, I wrestled with my secret. I worked out various conversational scenarios in my head in case he ever noticed my repair job. And finally, one Saturday morning, as we talked about several potential home improvement projects, the Holy Spirit's conviction became so loud in my heart, it was as though he were literally yelling at me. Tell him, confess, not later, now, now. Thinking back on it, I absolutely laugh at myself, but my heart was pounding that morning. Finally, I obeyed and revealed my secret repair job to my husband. When I traced the outline of my brilliant feathering technique with my finger, he finally saw it and said with a smile, "When did you accomplish this?" To him, it was not a huge deal, not nearly what I had made it out to be in my mind. To me, revealing my secret was like being able to breathe again. In the coming days, the Holy Spirit began to remind me of how incredibly important it was for there to be nothing between me and the one I share my life with, just as there is to be nothing between me and my Savior. One of the most tangible ways God shows love towards us is through the important people in our lives. The love shared between spouses, family members, friends, and our community of believers is a sacred love. It is the way we show the love of Jesus to each other and to a larger world that is desperately searching for authenticity, hope, and a tangible evidence of a caring God. Secrets kill sacred love. They destroy God's plan for sharing that love. They gnaw away at our peace and threaten to destroy our relationships. Secrets are never contained within just one person, no matter how effective we are at concealing them. They remain an obstacle between us and God, and their existence almost always comes between us and someone we are called to love. Just look at the devastation that gossip can do to a group of friends, a ministry, a work team, or a neighborhood. Gossip is, by its very definition, a collection of secrets shared among an elite few. Juicy tidbits passed between friends may seem harmless and feel harmless, but there's probably not a person on earth who hasn't felt the sting of a careless word or an intentional slam from someone they previously thought to be trustworthy. God has set a high standard regarding secrets. In the early church, there was a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, who volunteered to sell a piece of their property to help those in need. But when Ananias brought the proceeds to the church, God revealed to Peter that the couple had lied about the selling price and had kept some funds for themselves. Acts 5, 1-11 records the incident and the tragic results of their secret. When Peter confronted Sapphira, he said, "How could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this?" Clearly, he was as baffled as we are as to why they felt the need to lie to God about a contribution that was entirely voluntary. This story reveals the very nature of secrets. They usually arise to cover up something that doesn't make sense or isn't right in the first place. Luke 12:2-3 says, "But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops." The human heart isn't designed to be a labyrinth of secrets. Rather, it was created to be a throne room for God himself. As such, any secret we create will take up space that our Heavenly Father longs to fill up with his goodness, beauty, peace, truth, hope, and love. Psalms 51:6 says, "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." When we become followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins the immediate work of transforming us into a vessel worthy of the King, and he will do anything to make us ready to carry that good news with everyone we encounter. So when the temptation to hold secrets comes our way, we should do as the psalmist did, examining our motives in the light of God's expectations. Psalms 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." And when we surrender all our secrets to God, seeking his desires instead of ours, we are able to discover the power of Psalms 37:4. "It is not the desires of our heart that makes us truly happy, but rather God's." Hey, by the way, thanks for listening to the audio version of my blog. If you like it, please help me get the word out by sharing it with others and asking them to sign up for my email list. Thank you so much in advance for your support.